It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are falling into the depths of summer. We're into July, and July is traditionally our hottest month, just like January is our coldest month. We follow each solstice with the most cold and the most heat for the as a general rule. And this year, June was quite mild, actually. And I think I haven't seen the data yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. But what June maybe didn't make the average temperature, which would be the first time in some time we've been above average on most of our average temperatures for the month for quite some time. And we'll check with Tornado Bob and find out what's going on there. But before we get to that, we're going to look at some of the things that are happening in our neighborhood. And even before that, I want to mention that our good friend Axel Neustock is in camp in Colorado. And he sent a little note to me, sort of telling me a little bit of the things that he was seeing. Once you sort of engage yourself in nature, it's hard not to, no matter where you are. And oftentimes, if you're someplace where you haven't been before and the plants are all unfamiliar to you, the best you can do is just give a description and sort of say, well, it looks a lot like this plant back home. And Axel sent along this note, and in the note he talked about columbine being in bloom. He talked about seeing aspen trees, fir trees, ponderosa pines. He talked about goldenrod, and he talked about a white flower that he found that had 10 petals. And I'm not sure if that would be the chickweed that we are familiar with here, which actually looks like it has 10 petals, but actually only has 5. They're 5 deeply cleft petals. But whatever the case, he goes on to say that when I get up early, I can hear the birds calling. He said, there are mosquitoes, but he said nothing like what we have here in northern Minnesota. And he found a shrub that looked like a birch and red flowers that everybody out there calls honeysuckle. And of course, we all know about that because, as he mentioned first, the columbine around here, everybody calls it honeysuckle. And they do because it has those little honey nectar knobs at the end of its flowers. So that name is quite ubiquitous, but not necessarily accurate. Also mentioned finding yarrow and purple flowers that look like snapdragons. And he also mentioned that over the last couple of days, they've had some serious hailstone storms in the camp area that he is at. So I wish him well and hope that he doesn't get caught out in the open during one of those hailstorms. On my own observations in this past week, I think the one thing, well, many things to talk about, but one thing that really stood out this week is that for the previous 2 or 3 weeks, we have had hummingbirds at our feeders almost incessantly. I mean, there'll be 5 or 6 fighting for the 3 spots on the feeder almost all day long. And in one day, we'll drain the feeder and have to fill it again that day. And it went on like that for a while, but all of a sudden, sort of in the middle of last week, it fell way off, and suddenly there were no visitors, and we would go for hours without maybe just one hummingbird coming in, taking a few quick sips, and then getting out of there and moving on. And I went back in my notes, and starting back in 2009, I had the same sort of observations, and that is that there is this period of time that comes along in July, in late June, early July, going through July. It varies from year to year, and I suppose it has to do with when the hummingbirds arrive and how soon they get started on their nesting and that sort of thing. But I think what happens this time of year is that the females who do all of the tending of the young, the males play no part in this, these females are just so busy gathering protein for their babies in order for them to grow that they don't have time to come and hang out at the feeder and get sugar water. The babies need more than sugar water to grow on. And so their mom and dad are out. In one case, let's see, it was on July 23rd in 2013. I noticed a hummingbird come up right up to the window in my garage and pluck an ant right off the window, just pick it right off the window and fly away with it. And that's when I realized that it was probably feeding its offspring some of those delicious ants and giving them some protein. But over the years, in 2009, it was on the 6th of July, in 13 on the 23rd, it was July 31st on the 15th, July 9th and 17th, July 22nd and 20, and July 26th and 21, and this year it was July 4th. So they are getting out and probably feeding their young. That's my best estimation of what is happening. And there are a lot of young out there right now. I was driving into my house the other day, and out in the field right alongside Blue Heron Drive were three sandhill cranes, two colts and an adult. And I was thrilled to see that, because this is the time of year when these young birds are getting up and getting out of the nest. And these little sandhill cranes were hanging out with mom or dad, I don't know which, out in the middle of the field. And it was thrilling for me to see that. And if that weren't enough, on Saturday, the bald eagle that has been screaming and begging from the nest was up and soaring over the top of the nest. So, pardon me, the bald eagle fledged this past week, and I feel like a proud grandfather looking at his grandchild doing something pretty amazing, and that is flying. And this bald eagle is out and circling. In the past few days, he's been up and circling the nest, kind of soaring over the top of the nest, flapping a little bit. He seems pretty adept. Other years, I have had them land on my deck rail. I've had them land in my yard. I've had them land in trees in my yard. Practicing flight is a pretty scary thing. And when you're the size of a bald eagle, you don't do it without being noticed. So he's getting a lot of it's getting a lot of publicity, or a lot of views by me. Every time I get a chance to see it, I'm pretty happy with that. So if you live near an eagle's nest, start looking for the immatures to come out and maybe start flying around a little bit. I saw a magpie this past week. The 12-spotted skimmer that Hartley referred to in her report from Sugar Lake Lodge, that's that large dragonfly, not as big as a darner, but almost. And it has black and white spots on its wings, and it's pretty easy to identify that one. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. The other thing I've seen, let's see. Oh, I had one, last painted turtle out laying eggs on July 2nd. I saw my first dead skunk. I've seen lots of dead skunks. I saw my first baby or small juvenile dead skunk on a highway. So they're starting to roam a little bit. And usually it's, you know, mom and her six or seven little offspring running around doing their thing. And hopefully you don't run into them. But occasionally, you know, one of them makes a dash across a highway. And in this case, it got smooshed by a car. So the skunks are definitely at the same stage of development, as I would say, as the sandhill cranes and the eagles. They're young, are getting up and getting out and doing a lot of exploring. And some of that exploring is in areas where they probably wish they hadn't gone. Among the flowers that I've been looking at this last week, well, first of all, my son was telling me that the raspberries are indeed ripe down in the Twin Cities. So I've been watching my raspberries. They're not anywhere close to being ripe, not the ones by my house. The new stocks reported raspberries, and that's an entirely possible event. Oftentimes, further to the north, they ripen quicker because they have a shorter growing season. But the raspberries are out, could be getting ripe around here anytime real soon. Among the flowers that I found in bloom this past week, Canada thistle. There are two common thistles up here, the Canada thistle and the bull thistle. The Canada thistle, the flower is bluer. They're both purple flowers. The bull thistle and the Canada thistle both have purple flowers. The Canada thistle flower is a bit more blue. If you're mixing red and blue and you go heavier to the blue side of things, that's Canada thistle. If you go heavier to the red side of things, that's bull thistle. And the bull thistle is not blooming yet, but the Canada thistle has begun to bloom. In the fields, you're going to see these little pale yellow flowers that are about 3/4 of an inch across, 5 petals, a plant called sulfur cinquefoil. And it's one of my, you know, kind of in the fields, it's this gentle sort of butter color. It's a soft yellow. It's really quite beautiful. Sulfur cinquefoil. Rabbit's foot clover is headed up. It hasn't bloomed yet, but if you're driving along this morning, look at the verge. Look at the plants that are growing right along the road you're on. And if it's kind of a fuzzy looking sort of grayish pinkish color, that is rabbit's foot clover. It has a big fuzzy seed head, flower head that is quite distinctive when you see it. And rabbit's foot is a pretty apt description of it. It's a bit like a rabbit's foot. It's kind of rounded and very fuzzy looking. So check out the rabbit's foot clover. Fireweed. I saw my first fireweed blooming this past week on Saturday, and that was right on average, right exactly when I would expect fireweed to bloom. It bloomed. And fireweed is that magenta flower. It's going to be a stalk, and usually it's in a clump. I saw a big clump yesterday when I was up by Sand Lake. And the ones that I saw on Saturday were just 2 flowers in what will be a large group of them. They grow from rhizomes, so they spread in patches. And these flowers are quite ostentatious, about 1 inch across, magenta. And there are lots of them on the stalks that will stand up. And that's fireweed, and it just began to bloom. And speaking of just beginning to bloom, common milkweed and swamp milkweed both had flowers this past week. There's another flower in that same group called clasping dogbane, which is also blooming right now. Some of the things that are blooming, like, you can't miss them. One is tall meadow rue. So you're driving along this morning and you see this. It looks going to look like a cloud of white, about, as big as a soccer ball. Sometimes more elliptical rather than sphere. But you'll get these clouds of white that you're going to see. And that is tall meadow rue. And it's going to be taller than pretty much all the plants around it. The flowers are whitish in color and very dangly. If you look at them, they remind me of like chandeliers because they've got all these dangly bits hanging down. It's easy to see, and it's taller than anything around it, and it is white, and even at 60 miles an hour, you should be able to see it and recognize it along the edge of the roads. Among other plants that are in that same group, the bird's foot trefoil. That's that yellow flower that you're seeing. If you get up close and look at it, it looks like a snapdragon. It's got that P-shaped flower. But as you're driving along, that is the yellow flower in the verge. That is the yellow flower on the side hills. Outside of the black-eyed Susan, I would say that the most common flower out there right now blooming in the yellow spectrum is bird's foot trefoil. So check that out. And tansy just began to bloom. White campion, 4 petals, white flower, kind of a big calyx down behind it. There are a lot of those in bloom as well. What you're going to see there are just dots of white. You're looking at this area, maybe you'll see like hundreds of these little white dots that are sort of not, they don't aggregate and sort of make this whole thing look white, but you're going to see this border of green, and in the midst of that border of green are going to be these dots of white. It's a bit like looking at the stars in the sky. There are lots of them, and they sort of overlap one another, but they don't dominate. Let's see. That's pretty much it. The one final note that I have, and I had a conversation with my good friend Dallas Hudson about this. He had mentioned that he had not been seeing a lot of monarchs this summer, that there were quite a few monarchs when they came back from migration, but that for some reason, recently, not so many. Well, in the last 2 days, that is Sunday and Monday, I saw both, a monarch both days, and both of those monarchs looked brand new. So these are the next generation. These are the generation of monarchs that hatched, became caterpillars, and now have gone through their chrysalis and are emerging as adult butterflies here in Minnesota in the summer. And they will do the same thing. They will have another generation, and then we'll start into the fall generation, where the offspring of that generation will begin to fly south. So we can watch out for that. Keep an eye out. And if you're seeing monarchs in your neighborhood, send me a note. Let me know. I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to have a better sense of the population. I haven't seen a lot of them lately, but I have seen some. And so that's always a good sign. So if you're if you have monarchs in your neighborhood, please send a note or a text to KAXE and let us know. I'd like to hear from you about that. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.
You can sign up for the Season Watch newsletter written by our Phenology coordinator, Charlie Mitchell. That comes out either Fridays or Saturdays with lots of cool information, including a link to John's report and any talkbacks we may have gotten in the week.